Okay, we're set for our second talk today. This is Christian Ambach from IBM and also a member of the Samba team. And he will be talking about integrating GPFS and Samba status and outlook.
Okay. Does my microphone work? Yeah, seems so. Okay, welcome. Okay. All right. So I will cover what we did in the past 6 years about how we can integrate Samba and GPFS better. So one of the questions that come up when you think about what would be an appropriate file system for your CIF server is, okay, why should I use IBM's proprietary GPFS that also costs lots of money? First, to make clear, the name is not general purpose file system, it's general parallel file system. It comes from the HPC area, and if you look at the top 500 list of all the supercomputers on this world, you will find GPFS running on lots of them. So development of it started nearly 20 years ago, so it's a very mature code base. It's nothing that just was born just a few years back, and file systems typically need a long time to become really mature. It's currently, when you look at CTDB clusters, it's the best tested file system for that. So because IBM tests it for its own NAS products, which run with CTDB, it offers lots of great scalability. So you see these numbers here. I don't think we will reach those limits soon, especially the limit of the maximum file size. And it also gives you a great performance because that is what GPFS was made for initially, especially for HPC-like workloads. So dealing with large files and doing some streaming I/O and so on. It doesn't do very well with small files, but that's some kind of in the nature of a clustered file system. You have all of this metadata synchronization traffic running across the nodes, and once your files are too small, you get more metadata than you actually have file data. But that's the price you have to pay with cluster file systems, and I guess with any of those. And it also, so it's fully POSIX compliant, and it adds a few more features, like you can do snapshots of your file system. You can partition your file system into logical areas, use that for ILM or for snapshots and so on. That's what we call file sets. And it does not only support POSIX ACLs, it also supports NFSv4 ACLs. So that was the marketing slide. So what would you do if you just want to run or to export CIFs on a file server with Samba and GPFS? So you just take any Samba build that you can find on distro or whatever. You configure Samba in a way that it puts all of the CIF-specific stuff into the extended attributes. So you can use, if you want good ACL support, you can use Jeremy's ACL XATRA module to do this. And you should run GPFS then in POSIX ACL mode. I will come back to that later, why you shouldn't enable NFSv4 mode for such a case. If you want to expose the snapshots to your Windows clients, you add the shadow copy 2 module to the recipe somehow. And if you want to have better performance, you switch off all of the protocol interop features that Samba has that you do not want to have if you just run with CIFs only. So POSIX locking and kernel locks are two good examples for that. And essentially, you're done. Then you have a running CIF server running on GPFS. Okay, so, but my talk is not over yet. So why is there still a need for Samba and GPFS integration? So there are some reasons for that. So one of the first reason is if you want to make use of these advanced features that GPFS has that are not any kind of POSIX standard. So HSM is one of the examples, and the other one is our new WAN caching feature that's called Active File Management in GPFS 3.5. So you can, it's some kind of a branch cache, but not exactly it. So you can have multiple clusters, and you can have a home site and a remote site, and the remote site can cache files which are located in the home site. And I'm not sure what the current support is, so if we allow multiple writers or not. And HSM is that you can offline your files to tape. and you will still see the file in the file system, but it will only be a stub. It will be 0 bytes long, and once you read from that data again, read from that file again, we will transparently in the background pull in the tape and get the data back into the file so you can read it. What you will need for both of these cases is that you will need to make the Windows client aware that these files are offline. So this is a bit which you can send in the protocol so that the Windows client gives you more time to actually read the data. Otherwise, it will issue a read and gives you 1 minute or so. If you didn't come back with a reply, then it will give up. When you make the SIFS client aware that this file is offline before, it gives you 15 minutes by default. And you can increase that both of these values with 1 minute and with 15 minutes by some registry values. Another interesting piece is how to get cross-protocol interaction. So this is also what customers want to have. They want to share out the same data via SIFS and NFS. And this is the interesting piece of the whole integration story. So when you look at the NFS 4 standards, so they some kind of pulled in some of the ideas of SIFS and made that available in the standards. So SIFS has share modes and NFSv4 has reservations. It's basically the same thing. And you want to make this compatible somehow. Next piece is oplocks in SIFS and NFSv4 delegations. And one piece which gives us lots of headaches is compatibility between the SIFS security descriptors and the NFSv4 ACLs. So I have a separate slide on that later. And you want, so especially for the oplocks piece, you need this cross-protocol interaction. Otherwise, you're risking that your data integrity isn't made sure. So if a SIFS client thinks he has an op lock, it's some kind of a signal to the SIFS client, okay, you are the only one working on that file. And if an NFS client now comes in, we need to break that op lock of a SIFS client so that the SIFS client can destage the data and so on and knows, okay, I'm not the only one working on this file anymore. And with the integration pieces, another aspect is here that we are able to achieve better performance for some workloads if you properly integrate with GPFS. So, as I said, we have done lots of development for that in the past 6 years. So I have prepared some kind of a timeline here, what happened in all of these 6 years on the GPFS side and on the Samba side. So the first release we worked with was GPFS 3.1. It was the initial release which contained the libgpfs GPL, so with some function calls in it. So, having this under some kind of an open source license made us able to attach Samba to GPFS. And from in GPFS, there was already code existing to write and get ACLs, to set share modes, only the read and write as given in the NFSv4 specifications. They also offered us a call to do lease, to create NFS or kernel leases, that is oplocks or delegations, depending on the protocol you're speaking about. And also we had a pre-allocation call with which you could say, okay, I want to pre-allocate a certain piece of this file so that every write afterwards will succeed. That's essentially what we have allocate call on Linux also does, but GPFS doesn't hook into that kernel interface, so you have to call it explicitly in GPFS. So what we did in Samba was we created an initial version of the VFS module in 2006. It was some kind of poorly written in some pieces, so you couldn't configure all of these options if you want to use share modes or if you want to use leases. You could only control this globally and not per share. We fixed this a few years later. Yeah, so we started with the oplock and the share mode support, and afterwards we started with ACL support. So 1 year later, in 2007, GPFS 3.2 came out. And so previously, we only had this libgpfs GPL, which only contained a few functions which were made available for Samba. Now the GPFS team switched the whole GPFS library to a BSD style license, so we could now access any function in red, and we didn't have to move all of the functions which were made for Samba into a special library and header file. So since then, we just have a combined library, and all of the calls in it are accessible for Samba. So what we did on the Samba side during that time was we did some ECL work, and we did even more ECL work, and finally, even more ECL work. So this was the year of ECLs, somehow, in 2007. Yeah, 2008 saw a little bit of slowdown here, so we didn't get any new major release from GPFS, so we were still on GPFS 3.2. But in follow-up PTFs, so it's some kind of the fixed packs, in IBM speak, we got some new functions. So one of those was GPFS get real file name path, so that we can ask GPFS with a file name of any case, what would be the correct file name for that in the file system. So we ideally do not have to do any of these case guessings and stat caching and whatever. And due to some internal changes in GPFS, we couldn't call ftruncate regularly anymore. We had to call to use the GPFS ftruncate function. So on the Samba side, we adopted to this new licensing model of the libraries. We did, again, some ECL improvements, but only small ones, and started to exploit the get real file name path call, and also, as we had to, add support for the GPFS ftruncate. 1 year later, GPFS 3.3 came out with two important things for us. The first was that we can now natively store Windows attributes in the inodes of GPFS. So previously, we had Windows attributes mapped on the POSIX bits, or you could store them in extended attributes. Now we have some calls on GPFS, like it's GPFS get winutra and set winutra, and you can just store the bit mask of all of these Windows attributes. So the system archive, hidden, and other pieces like offline and sparse, and you can just store that away in the GPFS inode. As one piece of that, they also gave us a field to store the birth time of an object in. So that's not a Windows attribute, but it has become part of this additional information in the inode. What we also did in GPFS 3.3, we added the missing share delete flag for the share modes. And what we did on the Samba side is we picked up on this Windows attribute work and the birth time work. So since then, you can store Windows attributes natively in GPFS, and also we are able to deal with birth times correctly. And we had another set of ECL fixes. So you see, ECL seems to be a hot topic because we were working on those every year somehow. But not in 2010, it seems, because there's no ECLs in the right column. Yeah. In 2010, GPFS 3.4 came out. It added one additional bit that's actually from, I think, from the NFS v4.1 standard. That's the ACE flag inherited, so that we can tell if this ACE in an ECL has been inherited from a parent directory or not. What GPFS also added is a possibility to store extended attributes in a faster fashion. So we can use some reserved space now in the inode for a limited amount of extended attributes. It's not much, but it might help for small ones. And there was another performance improvement in the library. If you call GPFS libinit before you do any IO, they enable some performance improvements for that. What GPFS 3.4 also added in the PTF is, so it's nothing that Samba directly needs to exploit, it's support for the bypass of the traverse checks. So this is also what Windows servers can do. So before, if you do not have that, if you share a folder somewhere deep in your directory tree, all the users which want to access that share, we have to have read access to all of the parent directories up to that share to be able to get into that share. If you turn on bypass traverse check, they can just skip, and then it only matters what you have directly in this shares directory. So there were no changes necessary in Summer to make this work, but this is a piece which improves the Windows compatibility and also the ease of use for customers. Yeah. It seems we didn't do any ACL fixes in 2010. So what did we do in 2011? So we still stick with Summer, with GPS 3.4, so I left away the left column. So we added, or we exploited this new inherited ACE ACL bit. So this makes Windows Explorer much more happier than before. So now you can see these gray checkboxes, or it indicates with gray checkboxes, hey, this ACL has, this ACE has been inherited, and stuff like that works now much better than before. We did some other ACL fixes, and what I also did during that time was I moved all of these options to be per share options, so that you can now say on this share I want to have share mode propagation to GPFS, on that share I do not want to have that. So before that it was just a global option, so you could have it on or off for all of your shares. Yeah, we are using this small performance improvement, and we also added an option to the module, that's the GPFS sync IO option. So what that one does is on each open, so if you give this option on each open, regardless if the client has set write through or not, we always open any file with OSync set. So this helps with some workloads, so especially workloads like databases where you have a large data file and the database only updates a few bytes in the middle or whatever. GPFS performs better for such workloads if you open the file with OSync. And it also helps you to ensure data integrity in some error cases. So if you write data to a GPFS file system, so what we do in Samba, typically we only sync the files when you close them. This is what we do with a sync ops module. When you write to a file, to a large file, and you were in the middle of these writes, so GPFS, Samba does the write call to GPFS. GPFS comes back to Samba, I did the write, and we report that back to the client. And when you lose the power of this node, when there's a high probability that the last writes are just still stuck in GPFS, in the GPFS page pool that's in the RAM, and so you lost all of these writes because they were not destaged to disk yet. When opening a file with OSync, GPFS will destage all the data on each write before acknowledging to Samba that the write has succeeded. So you make sure that even in the case of a power loss, you will retain all of the data which was written shortly before. But it has a performance penalty, as all of these options have. Another piece which was then very helpful for this HSM support and also for the VAN cache is that inside of these Windows attributes, GPFS also stores a bit that's the offline bit, and it manages that bit. So if you destage a file to tape, GPFS will automatically report that file as offline. Or if our VAN cache feature sees a cache miss, so it needs to pull in the data from the home site yet, it will also report the file as offline, and you will see that funny clock in Explorer telling you, okay, that file is offline, it might take a while to open it. And it was relatively easy now to identify offline files. Before that, we used this VFS TSM SM module, which did some heuristics on the stat information, like does this file looks to be offline, but sometimes it was wrong. So now we have a definitive information from GPFS if a file is offline or not. What we had to add additionally, so we added this offline bit code to the GPFS module, but you have to do asynchronous I/O for offline files, and in that case, if you use AIO fork, this is what we did, the AIO paths are not stackable completely, so we had to use or introduce another module which you just will you insert at the beginning of your VFS objects line, which will see the asynchronous reads and will then send a notification that this file is now becoming online. Because our fork module just intercepted or just hijack the VFS stack and return from there without calling VFS next into the next, the other modules. Okay, what did we do in the last few months and this year? We still have GPFS 3.4. We added a new feature to the module that's called the discrete quota. So GPFS supports user group quota and also file set quota. So for these logical partitions of your file system, you can set additional quota, like in this file set, I only want to have 10 gig of data or whatever. What we now do with this module is we report that to the Windows client. So you look into the properties of your mapped network drive, you will see, okay, there's only 10 gigs left here. Or if your personal or your group quota is more restrictive than that, you will even see less. We also did that because we had some trouble at customers with some legacy applications which could not deal with volumes larger than 4 gig or so. And we were confused when we saw 50 terabytes of free space somewhere. And got all sorts of funny errors. So this is also a method how you can improve the behavior for such legacy applications. So you just set a file set quota and enable that option in our module. So the application just sees the quota and not the complete file system anymore. And finally, so if you remember, pre-allocation was in from the very beginning of our GPFS releases, and we exploited it now 6 years later. We had some performance trouble at a customer, especially with Microsoft Access, and we figured out that setting strict allocate in Samba might help, but only if you also use the GPFS call for that, because GPFS doesn't plug into the standard Linux calls into VF allocate. And as GPFS doesn't do that, you will then you otherwise use the slow glibc emulation of that, and that has made things even worse. So the reason why we also didn't revisit that topic for a while was that all of this infrastructure for that was missing in Samba for a while, but Jeremy, thanks for adding that in 2010. Now it was very easy for us to just plug that in and use it. So here's just a summary table. So which version of GPFS introduces which function, and you see we only have one no sitting here, and that is for the share delete thing. We have to discuss that again with our GPFS team because it doesn't work as it should. This is why we do not exploit it yet. Right, Volker? Okay, but you're not it. Okay, so this is the current state of the art, and what are the current limitations which we have? So with GPFS 3.4 and the current code which we have in Samba. So it's currently not possible to use level 2 oplocks when you run in this protocol interop mode. This is mainly due to some Linux kernel limitations, so we cannot downgrade an exclusive oplock to a level 2 oplock if the file was opened for writing. I started a discussion with Bruce Fields how we can get that fixed. And the bad thing is that GPFS oplock code is based on the Linux kernel code. So as long as so we have two options. Either we fix the kernel, or GPFS needs to move away from the kernel implementation and do something completely new. Yeah. So I recently just checked in some code into master that you can now enable kernel oplocks per share or not. This will also help you if you have some SIFS only shares and SIFS and NFS interop shares on your GPFS system. Yeah, we have a potential for a fatal race currently still. So when we open a file, after doing that, we set the share mode, and we also request the oplock. So as three separate steps, but this should be one atomic step somehow. So currently that doesn't hurt very much because the only software using these interfaces on a GPFS system is Samba. But if you move to an NFSv4 server, so GPFS still doesn't support exporting via NFSv4 on Linux. So we have some time still, but once they start to support NFSv4 serving on Linux, We need to have an answer for that. Otherwise, it's possible that Samba does reopen and tries to request the share mode after that, but an NFS client might have come in between, and we are vulnerable to such a race. So currently, that's okay, but for the future, this must go away. Another piece which we just recently discovered was that if you run with SMB2, the semantics of renaming a file have changed. So you have, with an SMB2 client, you still have a file open when renaming it, while in the SIFS world, the file was closed while renaming that. And that gave us some headaches with GPFS share modes. So we have a solution for that in the newer GPFS versions, but if you want to run with a pre-3.4 release, you have to disable the share modes option if you are running SMB2. So I have more on that on the next slide. So there's a quote from a GPFS developer that said, GPFS cannot read Samba's mind. Yeah. So how the current share mode code in GPFS works is you set the share mode, or Samba sets the share mode, and GPFS will then respect that share mode for any access to that file. So if a Windows client has set all of his deny, read, deny, write, and so on, even root cannot read this file anymore. You will just see a text file busy. The problem about that is that the share modes are set on a file descriptor, but we have some system calls which do not operate on file descriptors, like unlink or rename. So those operate on paths, but not on open instances, not on open file descriptors. And if GPFS sees such a call coming in from a Samba process, it cannot determine to which open instance of this file in the Samba process this operation refers to. So it's possible that one Samba process has the same file open twice. So if it now comes in with an unlink call, GPFS cannot tell, is it open number one, is it open number two? So what we... I already covered that ftruncate thing that also required some. So ftruncate is an FD operation, but it still requires that we give some, due to some GPFS internal changes, that we also have to give GPFS the file descriptor which we mean. So what we did in the past was we added some special code. So before we call an unlink, we drop all of the share modes. So on it so that GPFS won't interfere for that. For ftruncate, we have to use that special call. And yeah, we had this infamous problem with SMB2, so it was not possible to save a file with Microsoft Word to a Samba running on GPFS. Yeah, it's a very uncommon application, Microsoft Word, so nobody uses it. So, okay, just kidding. So, we had some trouble here with the renames, or how rename now works in the context of SMB2. So rename, again, is a path-based call and not a file descriptor-based call. And the rename was blocked by GPFS, and so Word couldn't save its temporary file and rename it to the file name, and so you ended up just with 0-byte files. What we did here, so we had a long debate with the GPFS team if they would introduce another GPFS rename call, So just like this GPFS ftruncate call, we will get a GPFS rename call. They didn't like that idea, and what we didn't like was doing something similar to the unlink case, but before we rename, we drop all of our share modes, do the rename, and try to get them back. That's too racy in our idea. So the current fix, or it's more workaround for that, is that GPFS now has a new configuration option in the latest 3.4 PTFs, which you can set, and when it will ignore any share modes when Samba does a rename. But that's only a temporary measure, because we will have something better for the future. So if you plan to run SMB2 and MS Office on GPFS, you need to set that config option. Otherwise, you can't save files with Word. Okay, so you saw all of these ACL work, more ACL work, even more ACL work. So there seems to be something special about it. And Yeah, I've just brought up some ideas about that here, or some statements there. So if you look, GBVS does NFS before ACLs. So if you look at the at CIFS ACLs and at NFS before ACLs, they look similar. It's just a matter of how high you fly when doing this comparison. If you go down into the deep into the details, you will see there are still lots of differences. And what our goal, so all the work which we have done in the past was to make the mapping to NFSv4 as good as possible within the possibilities that NFSv4 ACLs give us. So as long as NFSv4 ACLs don't have all of the fidelity of Windows ACLs, it won't be possible to do a perfect mapping here. And there are some semantics. So if you look at the ACE bits, for example, they have similar names, but the semantics are sometimes different. So on an NFSv4 system, a read adder means that you have the ability to read the stat level attributes of a file. That means, can you stat the file or not? And on Windows, file read attribute means, can you read the Windows attributes? You can always stat a file on Windows. You can always determine, is it a directory, is it a file, is it a link? But in the NFSv4 world, it's possible that this gets denied. So this is just one of the examples. So you see the bits are named similar, but the semantics are different. So that leads to that we, during this mapping, we might lose details that might be very important for us in the ACL. So one of the ideas which you can have is okay, let's use this ACL XATRIM module again. So it stores complete CIFS ACL in the extended attributes. It still calls for backend to do the mapping to NFSv4. And when a CIFS client comes in and the ACL hasn't been touched, it can use just the Windows security descriptor in the extended attributes and make its own decisions based on that. The bad thing about that is that the current NFSv4 mapping code sometimes generates ACLs which deny more than they should do. And so even if ACL XATRA says, oh, this access is fine, NFSv4 or GPFS will say, no, that's not okay. And so you have more restrictions than you should have.
Yeah? So when does that happen?
Okay, where's Alexander? So I just picked this. I know that this happens, but Alexander has all the details, my colleague. He's dealing with all of this ECL stuff for a year now or so. Yeah. So how do we get around these limitations here and also these ECL problems? So GBVS 3.5 gives us some new possibilities. So this was just released a few weeks back or so. It gives us a sideband channel for Samba to talk to GPFS. So when we do any POSIX call, we can, before doing that POSIX call, we can fill in the struct shown here, what we want to do here. So for example, for an open, we can say, okay, I want to have the following share mode, I want to have the following leases and so on, and when we do the open, and we will get the result of that back in the same struct. So what Samba needs to do here is it needs to allocate this struct anywhere and then tell GPFS with another call where this lies in memory, and then we can operate on this instance all over again and just set the bits which we want to have, do the POSIX call, or for example for the rename calls or unlink calls, we could set the file descriptor which we currently mean, which we will mean with the next POSIX call. So this will make the share mode thing a lot more comfortable, and it will also allow for this atomic creation or the atomic create file equivalent in the future. So that when we open the file, we set the share mode and we release just in one atomic operation and not in three operations in a row. So this is one new piece which is coming with GPFS 3.5. What will also come with GPFS 3.5 is that we will be able to store all of the missing ACL bits in GPFS. So, for example, DECL protected. That's something which is not in the NFSv4 ACLs yet. So GPFS gives us the possibility with a new ACL model ACL type in it that we store all of these additional bits, which can be found in the Windows Security Descriptor somewhere in GPFS. But that's only the first step. So it makes us able to store anything, but GPFS won't act on those additional bits yet. But that's something we have to tell them what should GPFS do when it's when a certain bit is found in an ACL. But it's the first step into the, to a certain, certainly right direction. We still have some, or will have some trouble with SIDs coming in, which we cannot map to anybody, because GPFS will still want to have UIDs or GIDs in the ACEs. We have to think about how we can do this or improve this in the future. But it's a good start, somehow. And finally, what we also have, will have in GPFS 3.5, or what's already out, the adoptions need to be made now, is GPFS now can have independent file sets. So a global file set shares with global snapshots. An independent file set has its own inode space. It has its own snapshot space, and so on. So it's some kind of real file system in a file system. The good thing is the support in Samba format is already there. Thanks, Volker. So it, you just need to load shadow copy 2 and set shadow snapd is everywhere to true, and everything will work. And finally, it's an idea which we brought up, I think, also in the beginnings of this integration project in 2006. StatLite is finished in 3.5. So what StatLite is we can stat files, directories, or whatever in GPFS, and we can tell GPFS that we only require some kind of a given accuracy of the information. So you can say, okay, I don't care if the size information in this stat is correct now. I only want to care about the timestamps or whatever. So you can leave away the size flag in the stat in the call to StatLite, and then you will get just the information which GPFS has in its local cache, and it will not ask the other nodes what is the correct size of this file. So this will give us some performance improvements for certain operations, or depends on the workload or whatever. We have to play around with that, but now we have a possibility. And additionally, it will also, in the return to this call, we will immediately get back the birth time and the Windows attributes just with this single stat call. So currently, when we look out for the birth time or Windows attributes, we do the normal stat, and then we do the GPFS calls to get the Windows attribute to read out the birth time and the Windows attributes. So we will reduce, by using that, even with full mode, with full stat mode, we will just reduce the amount of syscalls that we do from, in that case, from 2 to 1. So by 50%. Yeah, what is necessary still, or what needs to be cleaned up in the module? So for these Windows attributes, if you look into the code, it's horrible. So what we do here is we use the store. So currently, you set in the configuration, you set store DOS attributes to yes. That means that Samba will try to set the Windows attributes in an extended attribute. It nicely wraps them in with NDR into a blob, and what we will do in the GPFS module is we will intercept that call to set exactly, unwrap the blob again and do the parsing of it and set the bits in GPFS. And the same way also the other way around. So when we do, when we get the getXattr, we read the information from GPFS, wrap it into the blob that the store DOS attributes code then just parses again to the real values. So this is clumsy, and we need to fix that. So. Yeah, GPFS get a real file name. I recently checked it, and the way how Samba currently calls it, it doesn't work anymore completely. I talked to the GPFS guys, and they said they didn't change anything, but it seems something has changed. We need to fix that up again. Possible, but it doesn't work anymore. So currently, it always returns a no end because we call it with a relative path and not an absolute path. Or it was the other way around. I have to check that again. So we need to fix this up again to get the performance benefits of this call again. And we also have some code paths currently where we look, oh, is this a GPFS 3.1? Let's do something differently if it's a GPFS 3.2 and so on. So 3.1 and 3.2, IBM doesn't support them anymore. So I think in the future, such special cases for the older versions of a file system can just be removed when we touch a certain function of a module, if it makes the code easier, and sometimes it will. Okay, so my last slide is what's on our to-do list. So what do we still have to do for the future? So we need to improve the ECLs still. We have some kind of ideas. Shall we also store the complete security descriptor in GPFS? How can we store the SIDS somewhere in the NFS before ECLs? That's still a topic of many discussions. We should fix up asynchronous I/O stacking in the Samba VFS, so we do not need this special module just for the notifications anymore. We have to talk to our we have to think about how can we deal with SMB2 leases and the durable persistent file handles in a cross-protocol compatible fashion, but this requires support from our file system. So we are in discussions with the GPFS team how we can make this work for the future. We should use that light now as it has become available. We might even think about how we can make file change notifies protocol compatible or cross-protocol compatible. So currently, if a Windows client registers for a change notification in a directory and an NFS client puts a file into that directory, the Windows client will not get a change notify for that, because iNotify and all the friends on Linux, we do not work in a clustered fashion together with GPFS. So we could do this with iNotify, but then it will just be for, you will only see updates happening on the same node and not on any node in the cluster. And another piece that some customers keep asking for the legacy data, is support for alternate data streams. So I know that Microsoft wants to remove that with REFS Windows 8, but we still have lots of legacy data around which uses that. Yeah, so even if it's going away, we might still need to support it somehow, or maybe we find a good way to do this in a cross-protocol fashion. I know. But you made the first step into the right direction by cutting this off in REFS. Okay, so that were my slides. So time for Q&A. And
thank you, Christian.
Attention.
When? Oh, sorry.
Anyway, you talked about cross protocol NFS and Samba regarding the op locks. What about byte range locking? How does it work with it?
So this is, just go back to one of the first slides here. So by default, Samba has POSIX locking enabled. That means that any byte range lock where the Windows client requests will also be set via FCTL into GPFS. And so NFS clients can see them. So for NFS, byte range locks are advisory. So they could check for them, but they don't have to. So this is what we already have, but if you do not need this protocol and interoperability here, you can just turn off POSIX locking for such a share, and then this byte range locking won't happen anymore in GPFS. And as this saves another syscall, it gives you some performance improvements.
Samba also does check on every region, right? So Windows semantics is mandatory. So if an NFS client comes in and does a byte range lock, Samba will refuse to read and write on that range. Because Samba has to implement semantics, mandatory semantics. But that's an obvious performance penalty that you have to pay for interop. I have another remark on the to-do list. I think this share mode topic and lease topic is just larger than that. We have to implement some quirks in GPFS or calling GPFS with some side channel. We really need to nail the semantics that NFS V4 and Detlef will happily comment on AFP, really get a common semantics, get a common sense of what share modes actually are and what oblocks and leases actually are. And we need to get the projects together,
yep.
the Ganesha, the Samba, and maybe AFP projects together and sit down and actually create nice scalable APIs for that. And as a start, we might really just talk and understand each other's requirements, which I don't know anything about the NFS V4 requirements, so that's not a good start for doing interop here.
Yeah,
so but that's a big to-do for me, at least.
Yeah, so I think we have two options. Either we do all of this interop in GPFS, or we do it in the NASDAQ. But that would mean that Samba would have to learn how Ganesha, for example, as NFS V4 server works, and maybe some AFP server comes in again. So having support for that correctly in the file system will make us able to run with any stack somehow, or some run together with any AFP server or any NFS V4 server, as long as that NFS server uses the same interface to GPFS to a file system. Yeah, but so your proposal was we need to learn from each other, but also the GPFS team will have to learn from us somehow. Yeah. So we need to have four parties involved in this game. Okay. I come.